Happy Saturday, Nashville Forest Company, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman with you. We've got a full studio back here. Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier at the desk, and Connor Newt, the greatest producer in the land, is behind the glass. Guys, should be a fun show today. We got a lot to talk about. We've got a guest coming up in the next segment, Valer Shabilla from Broadway Sports Media, going to talk a little Nashville SC after they dismissed Gary Smith earlier this week. Also have a game coming up at 12:45 against Atlanta. We're going to talk Titans schedule release and much more. Guys, how are we doing on this Saturday morning?
Yeah, doing good. I know Frazier was rushed a little bit this morning, but that's okay.
Neither here nor there. We're just, you know,
you're looking sharp, though.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
you're
it.
You're ready for Dax McCarty to come back, aren't you?
Nah, I'm just ready to see what we're going to see today.
Did you see those cameos yesterday that Louisville did? Or I'm sorry, not that Louisville did. My mind's on Louisville because of yesterday. But Atlanta FC did all these cameos from athletes and famous people from Nashville to say, go Atlanta yesterday.
I did not see this.
Jason Zucker was part of it. And
oh,
then,
wow.
I'm trying to remember. Albert Hainsworth, Eddie George, a couple of different music writers, too, were part of it yesterday.
Interesting.
They were trying to throw some shade early.
Well, you know, this is a rivalry game today.
It is a rivalry
it's
game.
It's that three-way South rivalry where they fight for that belt. It was like Charlotte, Nashville, and Atlanta. It's odd. I don't know why, but. Hey, it's three-way rivalry.
So. Oh, well. Oh, yeah. Well.
Connor, before we get into headlines, nutrition. What'd you have for breakfast?
Nutrition. you missed that last week, Kieser. Our friend Brandon Aldridge decided when we ask a lot about what Newt had for breakfast today. Mm-hmm. So we're calling it nutrition. The quickest, like the Kentucky Derby, the most exciting.
Nutrition. The most exciting segment in sports.
Nothing out of the ordinary today. A little cherry yogurt action, fruit bottom.
There we go.
What if he has nothing for breakfast one day?
Then we don't have.
Then he doesn't have very good nutrition. All right, let's dive into our headlines here. Nick Kieser, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, on a brief note, a week from tomorrow, I will be getting married. So there is that. Mazel tov, as Jared Stillman texted me yesterday. So that's the first thing. So I'll still be here next week. So I'm glad to be here with y'all. And then we have a special program coming up on Memorial Day weekend. So stay tuned for that. Not to get too far ahead of ourselves. Look, last night, Matt Duchene scores the double overtime game winner for the Dallas Stars. Not much else to say after that. That was a really interesting game to keep tabs on because I really thought Colorado was going to force a game seven. I really thought that they could have done it. We talked about that not that long ago. We even mentioned it on our brief show on Wednesday where it was, I feel like maybe Dallas will take it. I thought after that game, Colorado could have forced a game seven, but Matt Duchene spoils their dreams. And the craziest thing is Dallas has beaten the two most recent champions.
Yeah.
And Jake, you pointed that out before I even realized it. So I have to give you credit where that's due. But that's insane. I mean, they played great. And Dallas, in my opinion, guys, it's early, but I would say I'd really, really like to see Dallas and possibly Florida in the Stanley Cup final. As fun as that would be, the Rangers are really good, but I think the Florida Panthers would give them a really hard time.
So. Yeah, only one spot left in the conference finals right now. Vancouver and Edmonton, they play game six tonight in Edmonton, so that'll be fun to see if the Oilers can force game seven.
Right.
And speaking of Matt Duchene, he got the game-winning goal wiped off in the first overtime with a very questionable goalie interference call. So had to make up for it a little bit and get that game-winning goal. Nick Frazier, what you got as your headline today?
I don't want to go with two of them, but I had to choose between. They're both baseball. I could either go the Ohtani bookie situation or the Paul Skeen situation, either or. But I'm not sure what yours is, but I'm just going to.
Neither of those.
Okay, perfect. I'll go with Skeens in. Paul Skeens should have thrown a no-hitter yesterday. I'm going to put that out there. The Pittsburgh Pirates pitching staff and just management in general decided to pull him after six innings with 11 strikeouts and one walk. He absolutely got like ripped off of a perfect game. That fourth ball on that one walk was a strike, easily a strike. So even though he had 100 pitches and I think 11 strikeouts after six innings, I think they should have let him go a little longer. Just, I mean, the guy's throwing 99 on a consistent basis, even late into the rounds. I mean, I get it. You wear out the arm, but come on.
Yeah, I mean, my point here was going to be that you're seeing with guys like Spencer Strider, who just had Tommy John surgery, and all these Jacob DeGrom, all these guys who throw 100 consistently, they get overworked, they have to get Tommy John surgery, and they miss a year to 2 years. So maybe the Pirates trying to just ease him in here in his second start, but yeah. Watching him yesterday was ridiculous. He had that 101 mile an hour fastball, and I think I saw Pitching Ninja said it had 17 inches of horizontal run. That's
17?
17. It's coming at you 101 miles an hour, and it's moving a foot and a half on its way in. That is impossible to hit.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, literally. I mean, when you have like a two-seam fastball or just a fastball in general that goes 100 plus, I mean, it's Aroldis Chapman except for, you know, 6-7 innings. You can't hit them.
It's crazy.
But as for myself, I just think they should have let him go. I mean, I get it. Second start in the MLB. He's been pitching since college and, you know, minor leagues and stuff. But once you're second start in the MLB and you've worked really hard to get there, I feel like give credit when credit's due. Allow him to go on. I mean, I don't know what they said in the dugout, but, I mean, if he was like, yeah, let's do it, let's not, okay, whatever.
And I think maybe you send him back out for the seventh because he has a no-hitter. But I also understand the reasoning of, hey, you can't let the circumstances of the game dictate your long-term plans for the pitcher. Yeah. My headline this week, I thought you were going to take it, Keezer, because as you can see on stream, I'm not sure if you can see make it out. He's got the PGA Championship Valhalla t-shirt on because Nick Keezer was up in Louisville yesterday.
Yeah, first time ever for a PGA event ever.
And maybe one of the craziest days to be at a PGA championship with the world number one getting arrested early in the morning for trying to go around traffic. They'd stopped traffic, tragic events where a pedestrian was killed by a bus early in the morning on Friday. Mm-hmm. But Scottie Scheffler, I guess, based on the reporting, was doing what most of the other golfers had done throughout the morning, which was just try and work their way around and get there so they can start their routine, start their warm-ups. He was stopped by a police officer who then latched onto his car, forced him to stop, and then pulled him out of the car and arrested him. Unbelievable events where Scottie Scheffler's saying he's stretching and getting into his routine while in a jail cell. And then comes out.
Sandwich too.
And he comes out and shoots a 66.
Yeah.
My mental game on a golf course is messed up pretty much from the start. If one thing goes wrong, if I, you know, chunk a chip on the first hole, my mental game is gone and I'll go shoot 105. He gets arrested and comes out and shoots 6 under, and he is in the top 5, maybe the favorite to win the whole thing.
I think it was interesting that all of that happened, and just to give us a little bit more context here, so the guy that was killed by a bus, he actually was a retired man that lived in Louisville, and he was working security for the event. So he was on his way to work when that happened, and quite frankly, the traffic situation there is awful. Firsthand for me, the bus driver that I had told us that there were 25 buses filled for 2 hours waiting to go to the course after this had happened. So it was a tragic event, but at the same time, you got to do better. If you're the PGA, but more importantly, if you're Valhalla, you have to do better to schedule this event and also make sure that people are in safe situations, because while parking may go from $40 to $100 right up at the course for parking lots, you have to make sure that there are safe ways to cross. I didn't see hardly any good spot unless you got all the way up to the front yesterday where people would stop traffic and you could walk across. I did see people run across traffic. So that was happening. So there was not anything disclosed where people should go, what entrance to go in. There was an Uber guy in front of us, in front of our bus, in the bus lane, that tried to turn into the main course. And we're like, that ain't gonna happen, buddy. So, but it was a good event overall. That's a great headline, Jake. I do think there's a lot to look forward to this weekend if you're up there in Louisville. So please take it in. The weather was not great yesterday, so should be a fun weekend ahead of us. And we have a great time here in Nashville this weekend. And we are going to talk more about NSC here in a few minutes, but there's a lot of drama going on here as well with that.
Definitely. We're going to get into all that as well. First, let's let Connor get his headline in here, wrap us up.
Don't forget me. Mine's a little more fun. Guess what came out yesterday around 10 a.m.?
The trailer.
The trailer. of NCAA, or I guess it's college football, 25 now. And, boys, it looks phenomenal. I mean, it looks a lot like Madden, and I know Fraser's a little disappointed about that.
Continue your note. Go ahead,
please. But I'm excited. You can get the deluxe edition, which is probably what I'll get. Comes out 3 days in advance, so do that. But, yeah, the trailer showed a lot. Not a lot of gameplay, but we saw it was nice to see all these traditions. You see Notre Dame hit the play like a champion sign. You see the Gators touch the Gator head. Clemson running down the hill. I mean, it shows all these traditions, and it just really, really gets me excited for what's to come with this game and kind of a return to what we lost 11 years ago around that.
Yeah, over a decade ago. It was really cool. I've already pre-ordered the game at this point. We are ready for, I guess, it's July 15th or 16th. But I love the trailer. I thought it was cool to see all those traditions. I was disappointed they didn't show Enter Sandman for my Hokies.
I was wondering the same thing.
But Virginia Tech's football account tweeted out Enter Sandman is about to go crazy. So it is going to be in the game, and I am fired up about that. I am going to drink in the cutscene before my first game that I play.
I don't know if you guys saw this. Paul Skrbina had a good story from the Tennessean, and he wrote about how a lot of the soundtrack was done here in Nashville, by the way.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Good.
So that was really cool.
You have our very own Nashville touch to the game as well. So there you go.
And I also did see there were some Tennessee fans that were kind of zooming in on the trailer, and they saw that it looks like the power T, is that their tradition where they run through the T?
Yep.
I think it looked like the band was on the field as they were running out, so it looks like that'll be in the game as well.
Okay.
So EA has gone in-depth on these pregame traditions for all of these schools.
All had 10 years to figure it out.
I mean, yeah, you know 10 I mean? Years, man, yeah.
Well, we're excited. We've got a fun show planned for you. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Valaire Shabilla from Broadway Sports Media, talk about Nashville SC dismissing Gary Smith, the only manager in franchise history earlier this week. Do want to let you know our question of the day before we move on here. There's been talk this week about UC Soros possibly being traded. I know our shows on this station have gotten into that pretty extensively. But we just want to know, what is the most surprising sports trade that you can remember? We're going to get into this a little later on in the show, but if you want to jump in, be sure to text or call 615-737-1025. We'd love to hear from you. What is the most surprising trade in any sport that you can remember? But again, coming up next, we're going to talk with Valaire Shabilla. We're going to talk about Gary Smith. We're going to talk about this Nashville SC team that looks to maybe grab some momentum heading into today's game, rivalry matchup against Atlanta at 12:45. That is up next. You're listening to Forrest Company here on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune into 102.5 The Game today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Kentucky with the pregame at 11:45. First pitch is at noon. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. And actually, read that wrong. They're coming up 10:45 pregame, 11 a.m. first pitch. We're going to be off a little bit early today here on Four's Company. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. And we are thrilled to be joined now by Valaire Shabilla from Broadway Sports Media, covers Nashville SC over there. And it has been a very interesting week for Nashville SC, to say the least. They got a win on Wednesday, but then we found out Thursday morning that Gary Smith, the only manager in franchise history, has been let go by Nashville. Valaire, thanks for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing all right. Just getting ready for the game. As most of you know, it's about to it's just an early kickoff today. So getting ready for the game and talking to you guys in this hottest and, you know, newest show on 102.5 The Game. I'm excited.
Yeah, 12:45 kickoff here for Nashville SC. Valaire, I just want to get your initial reaction to the decision by Nashville SC to let go of Gary Smith. Obviously, he'd been there since the inception of the franchise, and things had gone south the last couple of months, but they made this decision now. Did it surprise you at all, even just the timing of the decision to let Gary Smith go?
I think that's it. I think the timing is what kind of stuck out to me the most. Honestly, I think you look at how the last almost 7 years have gone for this franchise. Gary Smith has a lot of times overachieved what he was given. Now, that said, he is a victim of his own success in many ways. So is Nashville SC. If you make the playoffs every year, if your existence, then that just becomes the standard, right? So, and when there's a standard, you want to raise that standard, and fans want to see trophies, and that's the next thing, the next thing to go into. So because he wasn't able to deliver on that high standard that he set to start with, I'm not shocked that he was let go, but the fact that it happened between these two games, so it happened on Wednesday night, right? The game was on Wednesday night. They won on Wednesday night against Toronto. Thursday morning, he let go. And today, Saturday, there's another game, a rivalry game at home against Atlanta. So I just, it's an interesting time to let go of your coach who just won a game. We don't see it often in any sports, really, and especially not in soccer, that a coach won't get let go after a win. Now, there are reasons probably why Nashville SC did that. It's possibly because they have someone out there in mind. The second, the most likely reason is because they are officially the first team in MLS to let go of their manager, which means that they have free range to go and interview whoever. Now, the candidates are all out there. No MLS team is looking for a manager at this moment as we speak, which gives them a huge advantage, of course.
We're here with Valer from Broadway Sports Media. Valer, it's Nick Frazier here. I just, you know, what is your initial thoughts after the firing of Gary to go into this next phase of, I guess you call it the club, where you have an interim head coach, not sure what he's going to put out there on the field for formations and tactics purposes. But you also have to remember, for Nashville SC, they had the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Obviously, with the MLS right now, the standings not looking great to be in a playoff position. The only other cup-contending tournament is the League's Cup. What do you think the club's approach is going forward with just tactics and along with that tournament?
I think I describe it as a blank slate, because I think the club right now can go and get whatever manager, whatever direction they want to go in. When they came up from USL going into MLS, they kept Gary Smith, and we kind of all knew what Gary Smith's soccer looked like. It was very efficient, and it was maybe not the most exciting, as most of you have known if you've seen Nashville SC, but it got results, and it got wins, and it got success. They don't have to be stuck with that anymore. They can go and get a really exciting manager. They can go get a young up-and-comer from USL or something like that, and it will change everything. They can go and get a European name. They can get an experienced MLS manager. It's a blank slate. We've never seen this front office hire a manager before. We've never seen it. We don't know what they're going to go with. We don't know what they're excited. Now, obviously, their roster does limit them to certain managers. I don't really see them going out and getting the big European name. Like, I was joking yesterday. I was like, there's no way, like, Jose Mourinho will just come and coach Nashville. You know, that's probably never going to happen. But I think for this season, I don't think the team is looking at this season as a wash. I don't think they're looking at the season as it's over. I think they are looking to compete this season, get someone in early, which I believe is why we see this decision made right now as well. Because if you get somebody early enough, before the League's Cup break, and Nashville SC is a point away from playoffs. I mean, they're not, like, you know, crazy down or anything like that. So you get the new manager in, you have them kind of implement their ideas. Maybe you can test out those ideas in the League's Cup, because that's kind of less of a competitive, especially in those early stages. And then, you know, maybe you will have something to go forward with. So I think they're tackling this season still. I don't think they're looking just for next season. I think whoever they hire will be – we've said it for the last 2-3 years. Nashville SC is a win-now team, and I don't think this decision changes that. Their players are at a certain age. The average age of the squad is pretty high considering everything, and I think if they get a manager in, they're not saying, hey, this is a manager who will give them 5 years for the future and maybe we'll see where we're at. They're bringing a manager in that kind of will win right now, because that's what they need.
Valer, a little follow-up with that. You know, you mentioned a win-now scenario for Nashville. Like, I just can't really wrap my head around Nashville saying, you know, wanting to just still urge for a MLS title. Well, like, do you think their best option is to kind of marinate this season and keep fighting for a playoff spot in the MLS, or just kind of win now with League's Cup and kind of go all in there? Like, do you think it's a one decision or the other, or is it both?
I think they can't afford to not go all out on MLS to start with. I think that's their bread and butter. That's what you play every week. And if you're out of the season in June or July and the rest of the season, if you're already, you know, in that 14th, 15th spot in the Eastern Conference and playoffs are already looking tough, I don't think they can afford to do that because Geodis Park is not going to feel the same, right? You can have whatever Messi can come to town, and it wouldn't mean a whole lot because your team isn't performing, right? So I think they can't afford to say, you know what, we'll just forget about MLS and just focus on League Cup. What they can do, however, is what they did last season, which was make a run in the League Cup. Now, the thing with League Cup is that there are two group stage games before you get to the knockout stage. You kind of take those two group stage games as another MLS regular season, right? You kind of just play them out. One of them is against New England, and the other one is against Mazatlan from Mexico. If they can get through that group, which seems to be easy considering where New England is and Mazatlan are at the moment, so if they can get through that group, then they can start taking the rest of the League Cup, I think, seriously, because we all saw what a run for a cup did for this city in terms of supporting this team. And we've seen it with the Presbyterian, right? We've seen it with the Titans as well. Like, this city really, really loves a cup run, and y'all have seen it more than me, probably. But, you know, I'm currently wearing, like, my Preds shirt that I got for free 6 years ago or whatever. So, like, so I think getting something like that going brings, especially with a new manager in, I think brings a lot of new eyes into National City. So I think League Cup is very important. And because they made the final last time without really changing the squad or the manager or anything like that, makes you think that they can do it again, right? And I think it's a great opportunity for them, even if they don't win League Cup, to at least get in those top three spots to play in the CONCACAF Champions Cup next season as well.
Valer, you've seen this team since the beginning, from the studs built all the way up to what it is now, and a huge stadium, the biggest soccer-specific stadium in North America. Just walk me through, perhaps, how much pressure this franchise truly does have from the front office down to get the right guy, because the fans, they've really wanted a change for quite some time now. But for the next 3 to 4 seasons, you're also locked into some huge pinnacle pieces as well. So how much pressure does this group have to hire the next right coach?
I think it's a lot of pressure, especially when you're looking at the GM, Mike Jacobs, and CEO Ian Ayre. Those guys, you know, Gary Smith is the one who came out and faced the media and the fans every week. He was the one whose name was announced in the stadium on Wednesday and got booed pretty loudly. These guys are not coming out every week, right? So I think when that guy is removed, and they go and grab their guy, right? When Mike Jacobs grabs in his guy and brings him into National SC, that excuse is kind of gone because now the pressure is all on the GM, right? Because he's the one who brought the manager in. So I think it's pretty high pressure. This is a group that National SC implemented this money ball sort of way of looking at soccer, right? And they're no longer that because the salaries got released a couple of days ago, and National SC is fourth highest salary in MLS. That's not Moneyball. I mean, I'm not like a baseball expert by any means, but I think Moneyball doesn't put you the fourth highest salary on the list. So I think when you're looking at the facts right now, I think the fans are very aware of, yes, Gary Smith is part of that puzzle. And yes, Gary Smith, maybe his message became stale with the players. Maybe the players weren't as motivated. Sure. However, he's a piece of that puzzle. He's not the whole thing. So now you're looking at GM Mike Jacobs and, like I said, CEO Ian Ayre and owner John Ingram, honestly. All three of those people are going to be under pretty big pressure because National FC is no longer just an expansion team that came into the league. This is their fifth season. There have been teams that came after them and maybe found a little bit more success here and there. Now, again, National FC hasn't done badly, and that's the one thing that this franchise has been able to do is that raise the floor high enough, even though the ceiling never really got raised a whole lot, the floor was never down. And that's, I think, why it ended up, they ended up moving away from Gary Smith because that floor was starting to dwindle down. And that was the one thing they had holding on to them is that the floor was so high. So I think they're under a lot of pressure. And I think the fans want to see something exciting. I really think they want to see a more exciting brand of soccer, and that's a complaint we hear all the time. I mean, I was in the Toronto game that they won on Wednesday. And, I mean, I was sitting next to Nick Fraser, and I mean, we were barely awake. I was not fun. So I think even though it was a win, and winning cures everything, but if you're talking about excitement, and I think a fun brand of soccer is what the fans are looking for going forward.
Blair, last one for you here. We talked about the timing of this move. Only 48 hours ago, Gary Smith is let go. Now you're 3 hours away from a rivalry matchup here at home against Atlanta. What can fans expect heading over to Geodis Park today of what this team may look like with an interim head coach in charge for the first time?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you said. They've had 2 days to work with the interim head coach, Rumba Muntali. I do not think there will be a lot of changes, just simply because they've had 2 days to work with him. I don't know if you can implement your ideas as a manager in what seems to be one training session, or maybe two at best. I think expect more of the same. What I would say is that the other side of this is Atlanta. They're going through possibly their worst season ever as well, and their coach is on the very hot seat. And if he doesn't get a result in National League, there's a good chance he will be let go. So their star player, Thiago Almada, is injured and out. Their other star player, Yakumakis, might be injured before a concussion protocol, might not join in today. So there's an opportunity here for Nashville. And the one thing I always talk about is obviously it's a very common phenomenon in soccer called the new manager bump, right? I think anytime a manager is let go or a change in management happens, there's a little bit of a bump. The players are playing for something else now. And I think all these players are smart enough and pro enough to know that whoever the next manager is, this is now their time to make sure they impress him, right? They can't afford to lose their spot on the field. New manager comes in with new ideas. So I think if you're a player, you may be, you know, however you felt about Gary Smith, and I don't think any of the players disliked him or anything like that, but I think what you want to do is impress your next boss and prove yourself, right? And I think against Atlanta, in a nationally televised game in the afternoon, the weather hopefully hangs on. You know, it's going to be a big crowd. I don't know if it's going to sell out, but it's going to be close to it. I think if there's no better opportunity to showcase yourself than that.
Valair, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. Again, Atlanta and Nashville kickoff at 12:45 over at Geodis Park. Make sure to follow Valair Shabilla over at Broadway Sports Media for all the coverage on Nashville SC. Valair, again, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday and hopefully a good game over there at Geodis today.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Valair Shabilla, Broadway Sports Media, talking Nashville SC after the firing of Gary Smith. Coming up next, we're going to react to everything Valair said there, talk a little bit more about Nashville SC as they prepare for their first game without Gary Smith in franchise history. That's up next here on Four's Company on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune into 102.5, The Game today as the Nashville Cats take on the Wichita Regulators. Not to join the course. Pregame at 3 p.m. and kickoff at 3:30. With coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Cats football coverage presented by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Always have to stay on your toes with who the Cats are playing. You got to figure out which teams can make their way over here to Nashville. But that'll be a cool one over at F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville. Force Company here on this Saturday. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier at the desk with me. Connor Newt behind the glass. Just had a great conversation with Valair Shabilla from Broadway Sports Media talking Nashville SC after Gary Smith was let go back on Thursday, finishing his career with 100 wins overall, 49 in MLS play, made the playoffs every single year, but after a tough start to 2024, he is let go. Guys, again, the timing is a little bit strange. It's right in the middle of this stretch where you just got a win on Wednesday night. They let him go Thursday, and now you turn around and have a rivalry game. But definitely, like Valair said, it gives you a little bit of a head start in terms of looking for your next head coach, as they are the only team in the MLS without one, and allows them to kind of have the pick of the litter for who they want to step in next.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to ask Frazier a question, because I think this will sort of get the vibe of where the team might be going. And I have to start with Hani Mukhtar with my first thought after listening to Valair, but also some other reporters that I've heard, whether it's been in stories or on SiriusXM or wherever I've heard clips. But Hani Mukhtar, obviously, we know in this most recent system, the last few weeks when they've been struggling to score goals, and we know he's the best one at doing it. But he's also, he's either been on an island by himself or he's been in the middle of the field kind of waiting for one of those chances to kind of fall to his favor. What does this mean for him? What does this firing mean for him long-term wise? Obviously, lots of questions surrounding him. Mm-hmm. Not to say that there's, hey, he might leave if they don't hire the right guy.
Right.
But what does this mean for him and how important is it to keep a guy like this through a new coach?
It's very important. It's vital. I mean, I believe Valera was the one that tweeted this out, but I saw it on Twitter. It was that he was the only person to congratulate or say his goodbyes to Gary Smith from his departure from the club.
So far,
which I thought was very telling, just due to the fact that, you know, he's been with them since day one, you know, from the very beginning of Nashville SC. I mean, he was the first DP signing. So this is for Hani, it's important because recently the form they've been playing in a 3-5-2, and I even asked Gary this Wednesday night about him playing in a deeper midfield role. I mean, obviously Toronto was playing more, I guess you could call it, let Nashville hold possession of the ball and just wear themselves out type thing. But Hani obviously was dropping more into the middle, give that midfield stability, also along with just creating avenues for other, you know, offensive-minded players like a Sam Surridge and, you know, a Jacob Schaffelberg who kind of runs up and down, like I was saying in the break, up and down that flank in that 3-5-2. So, I mean, it opens up a little bit more offensive space, more passing lanes. But as for Hani, I think it's vital to see how he responds to the departure of Gary Smith and Steve Guppy. So if that's the case, I don't want to put a number out there, but I would love to see him score at least like four max, but like three goals as like a baseline, just because fans go to see Hani Mukhtar play. Okay?
Exactly.
I'm gonna be straight with you. Fans go to see Hani Mukhtar play. They want to see him score goals along with Sam Surridge.
Yep.
So I mean, if your name has a DP next to it and you're not scoring goals and you're an offensive minded player, it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem. And with this offense they've had recently, just possession wise, it's been lackluster.
And Valera talked about the new head coach bump, which I wanted to ask him about that, and he brought it up himself. It feels like in every sport, when your head coach gets fired, that interim head coach comes in and you have a big game the next time out. I'm wondering if maybe we see something like that today. Rivalry game. Everybody's probably a little bit more on their toes now because, hey, you've been put on alert. Gary Smith just got let go. Who knows who could be next? I think maybe we see a little bit of a burst today from Nashville.
And hopefully it's not Dax McCarty. You know, he's playing today against Nashville. Yeah. But not to say that he would make a good coach right off the bat if he does retire this offseason. That would be really funny to see, though. Dax is a really smart football player. But, look, I mean, just looking at the roster, too, and I thought that listening this weekend some to what the speculation was moving forward as a roster – guys, they have a lot of – they have seven guys here for at least the next three seasons, two of which I believe – and I was talking about this with Frazier before we started – two of which are reserves, which is Tyler Boyd, which is, you know, coming off the bench, but also you have Sipic and then Jones, who's down there in Huntsville as well. So there's a lot of cornerstone pieces still part of this franchise. One thing that I really like that's been, I think, a pinnacle part of this team – yes, we talked about Hani, but you also have Walker Zimmerman, and then you've also got a guy like Sam Surridge, which, quite frankly, is not living up to the expectation whatsoever so far. So if a few of these guys can get going, if the defense continues to stand stout, because quite frankly, while at sometimes they do look, not, I don't want to say mediocre, but they look like just your basic defenders.
Yeah.
Nashville SC has great defense, and I think the amount of clean sheets that they have from time to time, it's helpful to see that they know to themselves, we've got this under control. And I thought Joe Willis played phenomenal. I mean, given the fact that his team kind of let up some good chances on Wednesday,
right?
How do they react moving forward? How do they kind of roll with the punches, so to speak, for the next few weeks?
I will say, from last season to this season, it is night and day different. I mean, last year, Joe Willis was tied for the front part of the season with Seattle's goalkeeper for most clean sheets.
Yeah,
this
year,
it's a little bit different. Elliot Panico has been in net, and they've been kind of in and out, obviously. But, yeah, this defense has not been – pristine as it's been in the past. You know, you mentioned Walker Zimmerman. You know, Zimmerman's getting up there in age, and for me, that's a little concerning. I mean, I grew up watching Italian soccer, so they call it a thing called catenaccio in translation, which
I've
means
heard that before.
Doorbolt soccer, which is just defensive-minded first. But, you know, if you have guys that are injured defensively, you're kind of forced to play that three at the back because of the depth purposes. I would love to see Nashville just try to flex out into a four at the back just to just play a little wild card a little bit. You know, just play a little wild card out in the back just due to the fact that give your guys like a Jacob Schaffelberg more opportunities to play on the offensive side of the ball instead of having to run back and forth on offense and defense continuously. And it also would open up more room for Hani as well if they went back to their little 4-1-2-2 diamond they did last year. Have Anibal play in that little more holding midfield in the back towards defensive side of the ball, and then have Hani at that attacking role.
Yeah.
And or I've flexed this idea out there. I know we're about to go to break here in a second, but you know, moving Hani to like a left wing position and Schaffelberg at a right wing position in a 4-3-3 of some regard, and then you have your Sam Surge up top, Tyler Boyd that attacking midfielder role. Just move up some different ideas.
Yeah, I like this. Frazier is selling me.
I was about to
like
say, Nick Frazier, maybe send your resume over to Geodis Park.
Yeah, man.
I hear they're looking for somebody.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm free. I'll send it over. Just give me an email.
How low do you think it's going to be today? What do you think environment's going to be?
Ooh, that's
a rivalry game. It's kind of a fresh slate for the team.
I'll be indifferent about it. I feel like they'll have a good crowd because it's a Saturday and it's an early kickoff.
Yeah, 12:45.
I'd say if I do attendance, north of 18,000.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be north of that. If they get to 30, that would be impressive.
Yeah.
Would be 30 would be really impressive this afternoon. And given that people from Atlanta travel well to come up here,
that is true.
The stadium as well, it's going to be a fun afternoon. I'm very curious to see how they respond. That's the biggest thing I'm looking for, the body language, and also how do they respond in terms of coming out early. So that's going to be fun.
Okay. Should be a fun one over there at Geodis Park. Last home game of the month. Nashville SC will finish up the month of May on the road games at Montreal and at Cincinnati. But a rivalry matchup today, and we'll see how they respond after the dismissal of Gary Smith back on Thursday. Coming up next here on Four's Company, it's time for Newt's Notes. Connor Newt takes over our show as he does every week at 9:45. That's up next here on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp on the road. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35 p.m. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier with you on Forrest Company. But this segment's all about Connor Newt. Take it away.
All right, let me talk to you. Okay, so last night, I've got to be honest with you, I was at a crossroads of what I want to talk about. And then all of a sudden, I see a leak on Twitter, and it's of the Cardinals, my team, Nick Frazier's team. The City Connect jerseys are leaked. And let me tell you, they are the most boring and average City Connect jerseys ever. And I got to thinking, Nike has ruined jerseys. All these City Connect jerseys have come out, and they look exactly the same. They're all generic. They're all just random colors. And now that Fanatics provides them, they're cheap fabric, which makes me worried for what is happening with the NHL soon. So I guess what I'm trying, this is my weekly rant. So I want to rant about, why has Nike ruined jerseys? What is it we don't like about them that makes them better?
Okay, boomer.
Yeah.
Profit margins.
That's
what it is, man. They don't care about the people that buy the jerseys. They just want to see the green cash.
I mean, don't get me wrong. That check mark looks cool on some of these jerseys. Like,
no, it doesn't.
It doesn't? No. Not to you? I mean, I don't know, man. Like, you look at the Cardinals, and if you haven't seen it, I can't show you, obviously, but I can visually describe it for you. It's red, which is great. We wanted a red jersey. But it says the loo on it, which I'm pretty sure is another word for a toilet. and then it literally looks like any other Cardinals jersey. You know, birds on either side, bat, script, the loo. And then the hat just says STL. I mean, it looks like a spring training jersey. So, I mean, Are there any good? There are good City Connect jerseys, in my opinion. The Padres. All right,
the Nationals, good. I think, is my favorite one. I hate that they're retiring it too.
Yeah, it's
the cherry blossoms one.
That was my favorite.
They're awesome.
I like the Padres the best.
Padres is cool. I actually didn't mind the Rays one that they just released with skateboarding Devil Ray. I thought that was pretty
cool.
I
thought that was cool.
But then you have terrible ones like, I don't know, the Rockies I don't like.
I think Houston's is kind of boring. That's what about the Space City one?
What about Milwaukee's?
Milwaukee's are cool.
I like the Brew Crew.
Yeah.
They've got like the light blue.
Them and the Admirals like going off of each other.
Yeah.
And the Sounds get in on that.
Yeah, the Sounds will wear the Brewskis every once in a while.
They do.
The Tigers released theirs a few weeks ago, and I don't hate them. Like, I kind of like their navy blue with like lighter blue. It's supposed to be like tire tracks, mm-hmm. and it says Motor City across the chest. The jerseys are fine. The hat, the hat for the Cardinals and the Tigers reminds me of each other. It's like it's just plain, and it says for the Cardinals STL, and for the Tigers it says the full word Detroit across.
I don't like that.
I hated
it. I'm not a fan of that. If you don't like a jersey, text us 615-737-1025. I want to hear what our listeners think this morning out and about in Nashville, because if there's something you hate about a jersey or what direction this is going in, I'd love to hear it.
Well, the NBA does it too.
They do it
with the city. And like the Grizzlies, for instance, I feel like have released
some
the
of the logos are cool.
They have released the same colorway like 5 years in a row.
They do change it almost every year, right? Or at least every 2 years.
They do.
I do recall a few years back during Christmas, their Christmas Day games. I think the Knicks, the Heat, the Cavs, the Lakers, they all had the like full sleeve jerseys, like down to the elbow. I was like,
"You're right.
This is an awful idea."
Yeah,
that was an era. That was. I just remember LeBron winning a NBA Finals in that jersey.
Yeah,
with like the sleeve and the big C on it.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Black. They were terrible. But I mean, it was an era, kind of like how in basketball. Around like 2010, everyone wore the shorts down to like below the knees, like John Wall and I don't know.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Isaiah Thomas, I think.
Yeah. Allen Iverson did it even worse in like 2002. They wore pants.
It was a style.
So, I mean, maybe that's what Nike is going for, like trying to do like a whole style thing. But some of them, like, it doesn't even – my biggest pet peeve is jerseys – that don't match your team's color. Like, take the Red Sox, for example. They have
the yellow ones.
The yellow and blue UCLA colors. It doesn't match. I mean, I understand if it connects to your city, but it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. It's just seeing those Cardinals got me feeling something.
Nike just wants a bunch of their baseball players just to play naked, because that's exactly what they're doing. You see right through their clothes, unfortunately.
Well, and the material is so bad. Riley Green for the Tigers twice this year, I've seen he slid and his pants have torn, like, not just like a little rip, it is completely down the leg, like splits open. It's ridiculous. I remember when the MLB said Fanatics was taking over, and they said, we want the jerseys that fans get to feel more like the real thing. And all the jokes are that they brought down the real thing in order to be closer to the fan jerseys instead of the other way around and making them all better quality.
So what does that mean for the NHL?
Because that's a good question. We will find out. I believe we should find out in June sometime after the Stanley Cup final. I would not be surprised if they find out what some jerseys start to look like at the draft. Keep an eye on that, because one thing that they do every year in the first round, and some guys in the second round and later on in the draft photos, and when they get up on the stage, they put on the jersey, and it's usually the new one at times. So will they release it before the draft? We'll have to find out.
You know those 1980s mesh practice uniforms
football? Man.
Yeah, just start wearing those. Just straight up, start wearing those.
That'd be a good like throwback night. That really would be.
The Mean Machine.
No?
I have a mesh bag that I used to – well, I gave it to my mom after I got done with football in high school. It was a mesh bag to carry all my football stuff in. And so she uses it for her towels for work. I'm like, it's a mesh bag. That's exactly what football and baseball and soccer and everybody's going to start wearing.
We have a text from 0736 that says – If they are City Connect, why not have a contest for them local artists? Or would that connect to the city? Shane, he just threw his name in there right when I finished reading his text. That would be kind of cool because you'd have local artists and people like the NHL, going back to that, when they do their theme nights, you know, whether it's Pride Night, whatever it is, it's usually a local artist that will put together the design for that jersey. And there's some really unique ones across all sports, too.
That's how they pick some logos, too. Like, I know the Brewers, for instance, that logo they have, that's made by an artist. And if you look closely, I learned this from the show, actually. If you look closely, it's an M and a B.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an M and a B.
I didn't notice it until Boog Shambi pointed it out in a video game.
Boog Shambi, I've heard way too much of him playing MLB The Show. We've talked college football, though. They're going to have multiple broadcast teams in that one, so that'll be cool. Connor, thank you for your rant this week.
Well done.
We agree uniforms are going downhill in all sports, but especially baseball. Tune into 102.5 The Game tomorrow for coverage of the All-Star Race at North Wilkesboro Speedway. Coverage will begin at 3:30 p.m., with the race starting at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. When we come back, we're going to talk some Titans. The schedule was released this week. We're going to go through it, talk about some important stretches for the Titans coming up later on this fall, and also give our predictions of what the Titans' record will be this season. That's up next here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.